The first time when I was arrested on the 20th of July, they said that they were arresting me because I had incited violence, but I had not incited violence at all. All I did was to commend an activist who was putting together an action of plan for a protest, which is enshrined in our constitution. We are allowed to protest. And this protest was against corruption. The link to myself was because I had done an investigation and exposed that high-ranking government officials, including those related to the president, were involved in a COVID-19 scandal where $60 million was being looted. And this ended up with the health minister being fired. So I was arrested and I spent 45 days in maximum prison. And then I was released. Then the second time, it was on the 3rd of November when I was arrested, I got a knock at my door and it was the police, and they said that they were arresting me for violating my bail conditions for the first charge, which I've just related to you. They were saying that through my work as a journalist, I had said that I had information that the president's niece, who had been arrested at the airport trying to smuggle 6 kilograms of gold to Dubai, was going to get bail and opposed by the National Prosecution Authority of Zimbabwe.
So you are out, Hopewell, you are out on bail, and part of your bail condition is for you to stay away from Twitter. Now, what do you think about this?
No, my bail condition doesn't say I should stay away from Twitter. I've got two bail conditions now, which are attached to the first charge from July and the second charge from November. The first bail condition says that I should not tweet about anything that involves violence or massive protests. Then the second condition, which relates to the bail that I was given on Friday by Justice Tawanda Chitapi, says that I should not tweet anything that undermines or obstructs justice. So I'm allowed to tweet, and I'm active on Twitter because this is a platform that we use, especially here in the developing world, where mostly the state controls the newspapers and it controls television and radio. So they are trying to control the narrative by removing us from Twitter, by throwing us into jail so that we don't do our work.
What message do you have for journalists in other African countries who might be experiencing the same problems that you are experiencing in Zimbabwe?
My message to my colleagues across the continent who are facing the same kind of repression that I'm facing in Zimbabwe is that you have to stay strong. We went into journalism understanding the difficulties, and sometimes we have to pay a huge sacrifice, like in my case where I go into prison, I sleep on the floor, I don't have access to clean drinking water, I'm staying in a cellmate for 16 people, and yet we are 46. These are the sacrifices that we have to pay. And my attitude is that I'm 49 years of age, so my generation's future was destroyed a long time ago. So I'm now thinking about the future generations, and this is my contribution to the future generations to say at least the very least I can do as a citizen and as a journalist is to try and stop or slow down, if I can stop, the levels of corruption that have destroyed Zimbabwe and destroyed Africa.